And we have with us here Meredith Edwards. You want to say your name? It's just the start of the tape. I start them all off like this.
Meredith Edwards.
And where were you born?
Atlanta, Georgia.
When?
November 7th, 1959.
And what's your permanent address?
I don't have one.
You can... Is that Porter Street address?
Porter Street. Washington, D.C.
What number?
3418.
3418 Porter Street. And, did you tell me when you were born?
Mm-hmm.
When?
November 7th, 1959.
November 7th, 1959. And you have 6 days clean today?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What's your clean date?
I think it's the 20th or the 21st. October 1988.
Not the 19th?
No, I don't. That's written down. You'll have to put that.
Okay. What I want you to do is tell me something about your life which you think is profound. As you know, this is for a book called Attic. I have your picture on one page and your story on the other page. Pages. Or just some quotes from what you say. And I want you to tell me what happened, what it was like, something profound, what you think is important to have in your life, and what might you share that might help some other addict. Okay?
Okay. The first drug I consumed was at age 12. It was Cutty Sark. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I guess it was alcohol. It was Cutty Sark. And that was my first drunk and also my first blackout. I don't remember anything that really happened except for a few sketchy details. And I got sick for about 2 days after that. It seemed like a long time before I had tried anything else to get high on, but actually it was probably less than a year later. I thought I was trying pot for the first time at an AU concert in the fall. And I think recollecting that the stuff was actually PCP and not pot, but it was the several days later where I began smoking pot fairly regularly. Smoking it before school. Rarely during school because I would have been in too much trouble had I gotten caught, but always after school. I guess when I was in the 9th grade, I started experimenting with alcohol again, just drinking beer. Started out as a Friday afternoon thing, drinking with a girlfriend, and occasionally she or I would bring a beer to school in the morning, or a couple, and drink them in the bathroom. And I got involved with somebody when I was about 14 who went to my high school. He introduced me to all kinds of drugs, other drugs, starting with White Crosses, PCP, LSD. When I was 16, he introduced me to heroin and cocaine, which we injected. I also tried opium, just about everything I can imagine. He also turned me on to medicine cabinets. I didn't realize what all was lurking behind the door of a medicine cabinet as far as prescription drugs back then. Tranquilizers and sedatives and amphetamines were very widely prescribed. And between my parents and my friend's parents, we always had something to get high on and abuse and experiment with. I left high school a semester early. I had finished all the credits I needed, and I worked the last semester. Managed to save enough money to buy a car while I was still taking a lot of drugs, but it all seemed very recreational, something to do at that time. It was accepted. I guess my life revolved around drugs then, but I didn't foresee it as a problem because all of my friends were using drugs. My parents were very oblivious to this fact. I didn't realize at the time that my mother was a practicing alcoholic. And they were, my parents were very wrapped up in their own world, so to realize that I had a drug problem. My brother had had a drug problem years prior, but they figured that I had gained enough insight from his experiences to not use drugs, and that insight never came to me. I was so really unaware that his problems were centered around drugs. I went to school in California for a couple years, where I began to smoke a lot of PCP. I was still involved with this person, this boyfriend from high school, who abused drugs far more than I did. He abused me physically and verbally at about age 18, 17, I guess I was, when I was living out there. I hadn't turned 18 yet. It occurred to me that he was an alcoholic. I did not know really what an alcoholic was. I had never heard alcoholism really talked about, except that he drank first thing in the morning before school, and all the time, and the drunker he was, the more he would abuse me physically. He was always in search of drugs, always. I foresaw him being far more fucked up than me, and I think in reality he was, but it was just a question of time before I was on my own away from him, where I was actively seeking drugs. I was a garbage head. I would take anything. I did quickly learn things that I would prefer not to take. There were certain things I just didn't like getting high on. I never liked sedatives. I would get in trouble with them because of blackouts, and I would get violent and angry and break things. Eventually, didn't take the physical abuse from this person. I got out on my own when I was still trying to go to school, but I was smoking so much PCP that I had to, I dropped out of school. I became very depressed for the first time in my life and had suicidal thoughts. I met a girl where I worked. He knew of a doctor that would prescribe sleeping pills. I don't remember the name. Dalman or something. Maybe they weren't sick, I was going to Dalman. And I was going to kill myself. But I hung on to them. I would take them sometimes if I was wired all night on coke and wanted to sleep, I would take one. Or just for something to do, I would just take one. And I just kind of hung on to them, just thinking that if the rut got bad enough that I was in, I would just take them all. I guess I was 18. I was 19 when I first experienced this depression. And I moved back to Washington and began to abuse Dilaudids. And when I started getting strung out on the Dilaudids, I would buy PCP and smoke that for a few days and give the D's a rest. I started getting back into LSD very heavily and came into a connection. Couple connections where I was, where I ended up selling lots of acid and PCP, and that sort of supported my Dilaudid habit, along with somebody else's who I was getting high with, who I needed to get me the drugs. I got to a point where I was totally flipped out. Even my friends were concerned, and my parents tried to commit me to an institution, and this went on for a few months, and I was always running from them. Still abusing drugs, and got to a point where I was real crazy. I was seeing a psychiatrist. His ultimate advice, I guess, helped, except that it was don't do the hard drugs. Just smoke a lot of pot and drink a lot of beer. And eventually, I did straighten out after playing a lot of games with my parents about the mental institution. I would tell them I would go, and I would meet them there, and then I would run away. And they never did quite incarcerate me. I did give up the harder drugs, so to speak, and began to drink heavily. I first realized that I had a thing with alcohol where I just wanted to drink all day long, and did. I had a job where I could get away with getting loaded. The people I worked with were friends, and they got loaded. We all would just cover for each other. was working for a veterinarian and had access to bottles of Demerol, which I would take on an occasional basis. I just take home a pretty big syringe full and divvy it up. And the stuff would blind me after I would miraculously hit a vein because I was still relatively inexperienced in hitting myself up. And I would like stumble around and still try to keep getting high, and I still try to hit a vein. Trashed one of my arms first time. Had an abscess. That was my first experience with doing any permanent damage with needles. I think I was 21. Yeah. Somehow I got straightened out enough to fall into a relationship and married this person and started the marriage out with a baby. This person uses drugs, is not an addict. Things were okay for a little bit as far as my not using. I think mainly because we traveled for a year together. Spent a lot of time on open waters in a sailboat, so I didn't really have a whole hell of a lot of choice as to doing drugs or alcohol, but I was happy because I was traveling and seeing the world, and I hadn't done any traveling for a long time. So that was kind of a vice in itself. After I had my daughter, Elsie, I went back to work when she was about 6 months old after I'd weaned her. During the process, though, of nursing her, her first 6 months of her life, her first visit to the pediatrician when she was 2 weeks old, the pediatrician asked me if I'd like beer. And I told her I did like beer. She didn't know just how much I liked beer, and she told me to drink beer because it was good for nursing babies. So I started consuming a lot of beer after Elsie was born. And my first job back after having her was in an Irish pub, which was very conducive to my beer drinking habit. It was all very good beer. And I began to suffer quite a bit as far as my alcoholism. Still didn't realize I was an alcoholic. And with having money in my pocket, waitressing, always an undisclosed amount, I didn't have to answer to my husband as to how much I was bringing home. I could tell him I had a good night or a bad night or whatever and still managed to buy drugs. And I got reintroduced to PCP, or I reintroduced myself to PCP and a lot of this all over again. This PCP habit persisted, though, for several years. And the people that I hung around with and the wild goose chases I went on helped me get to my first DWI arrest. Actually, it was two in one night. It was St. Patrick's Day, and I was arrested and released on my own recognizances, and then went back to this party to relocate my car, my truck, and got drunk all over again and was arrested once more on the way home. That time they didn't let me out so quickly. Let's see, I think my husband was away at that time, but I had to hang out in jail till he got back into town to bail me out. He moved down to the Chesapeake Bay to start a boat business. We weren't having marital problems, or so we thought we weren't, but I chose to stay in the area for a while because I had a job, and we needed an income. We needed my income for financial reasons, and I needed one to support my drug habit. I eventually moved down to the Bay and then moved back up and commuted occasionally, so basically I was not living with my husband. I had my daughter with me, but this afforded an opportunity to start using heroin and Dilaudids again, which I did. And basically, in a nutshell, about 4 or 5 months later, I found that I'd spent several thousand dollars that was not mine and that was in savings. I wrote bad checks on my parents' account, forging their signatures. I started out this check scamming using my own account, or writing checks at the supermarkets for 50 over the amount, and then waitressing and trying to get the money back in the account before the checks cleared, and it all ultimately caught up with me. My parents found one of their bank statements that I had neglected to intercept in time after it was delivered by the postman. And this was just a month's worth of checks that I had written. They called my husband, who in turn got in touch with me, and they all decided that I would go into rehab. And I was relieved because I was very suicidal at that point. It's all kind of a blur, but I just remember it being a very anxious time, wondering how, knowing that all this was going to come out in the open, being strung out on the Doradas, smoking PCP just to dull my senses when there were no Doradas to be had, wild goose chases for drugs, having an old childhood friend that I'd been using with take $1,000 from me on a scam. There were a lot of anxieties and I wanted to die. And then it all came out in the open and I was very relieved and I went to rehab for my husband and for my parents. And not really for myself as far as getting well, I just wanted to clear the air and get back on everybody's good side. At that time, being called a liar and irresponsible was just a very insulting thing, and I truly believed I wasn't those things. So I got out of rehab. This was in February of 1985, and I went to meetings, and I kept my house clean. I was living down at the bay now at this time, and I was helping with my husband's business. I was doing all those things I was supposed to do, and I was slowly building the trust back. But I started using drugs, and it started out with a prescription for Preludin, otherwise known as BAM. That I could get monthly, 30 tablets a month, from my gynecologist, whose name I got from a girl in rehab. Naturally, I looked him up the very first day I got out of treatment. So basically, I was high that afternoon after I was discharged. I could function on the speed, and I didn't have to rob and steal for it, and I appeared to everybody else as being just very efficient, very conscientious, you know, even down to washing windows and cleaning up junk drawers in the kitchen. This IV you said with the praline led me back to the Doradas within a certain time, and I found myself driving an hour and a half to Washington, sometimes twice daily, to buy Doradas. This time I was going up by myself. I had no friends I could trust any longer, nor whose habits I wanted to support, so I would go up by myself, go downtown, cop, and find somewhere to get high, and shoot the things, and then drive back down on the nod. And I started taking money from my husband's company, just writing checks, just. And he would catch me, and I would say I'm sorry, and that would happen again. A few months later, this went on for a couple of years. It's ridiculous. I finally checked myself back into outpatient, which lasted about a week because I got kicked out of my sobriety group because within a 48-hour period I had incurred a DUI, and then 2 days later I was arrested for possession of Dilata in Washington. I was thrown in jail both times. They kicked me out of my sobriety group, and one of my counselors, against the rules of the outpatient clinic, gave me rides to meetings. I white-knuckled it for a couple of weeks. Anyway, that was before I got arrested. Okay. And I was trying to make the outpatient work. He was taking me to meetings. And during this time, though, I'd gotten arrested for the Dilata. And he sent my husband to Washington so he could cool out at his mother's house. His counselor took me home from a meeting and proceeded to try to take me to bed. So while I was on a probationary period with my outpatient treatment because of the arrest, I elected to not go back there. I didn't want to tell them about what he had tried to do because I figured they wouldn't believe me, but it kind of left a bad taste in my mouth towards this particular end of the fellowship where I was living, because I had to see him at all the meetings, because I only had 7 meetings a week at that time between 3 counties. So I started going to the other fellowship.
Get out of here.
Let's see, where was I? can't really remember how I got well. I just kind of started straightening up and started getting the trust back. Oh, I know what I did. I switched drugs. I started using speed again. And this time, not when my when I didn't have my prescription from my gynecologist, I would buy it from these guys I worked with at the marina, this crystal junk. And I either snorted or shot it. And this enabled me to stop drinking. I didn't want it to interfere with my buzz, so I stopped drinking and had the outward appearance once again of doing very well. I was even under the impression I was doing well, just as I wasn't drinking, even though I was doing the speed. I was working two jobs and keeping my house together and basically burying myself in work. I became very distant from my husband. I mean, despite all the bullshit, I really did love him. My drugs were more important. Where my child was in all of this, I still don't really know. I just remember letting her have her way as to avoid conflict with me. I have a lot of regrets about just not really remembering the first years of her life. There are a few things I'm probably leaving out, but it's all kind of basically the same stuff. Eventually got involved with somebody who interested me, who was interested in me, who appreciated my past. I thought my past was behind me because I wasn't drinking. Who appreciated what I'd been through, who told me good things about myself, and I fell in love with this person. And he was able to talk me into leaving my husband and my child, which I did. I couldn't handle the guilt, I couldn't handle the emotions, because I loved those two people, and I still do. I don't think I'm ready to be a mother or a wife, or was, or never was, actually, but I began to drink to alleviate this guilt. Well, it started out on a vacation. We were drinking. I was with this new boyfriend, and when we got back, I just couldn't stop. I started shooting cocaine, and our relationship went south very quickly. And he always threatened me. He ended up hitting me a couple times, just being so angry. As my mother said, they seem to bring that out in people. This occurred about 2 years ago, exactly this time of year. A little over 2 years ago, I guess. And you know, this new relationship started out so positively, and I just figured it would be a clean slate, somebody that knew all about me, yet wasn't affected by me, by my past, but could only appreciate it and love me for it. Love me for being experienced. And it's kind of funny looking back in retrospect. But I think that's when I finally realized that I was powerless over my addiction, because it was something I wanted so much. I still question today how much. And I could not get well to make this work, this lifestyle, this relationship with this person. And I had all the qualities that I was attracted to. And I learned I couldn't hinge my sobriety around other people's expectations of me. And not only did that include that particular person, but my family alike. So, I admitted I was powerless, but it took me a year and a half to realize, actually to surrender and realize that difference. Because I never surrendered, I just went on knowing I was powerless. I saw jobs come and go, I saw friends come and go, I saw good opportunities for me to just come and go, and all I wanted to do was be single and be self-supporting and independent just for once in my life, and to be able to handle this relationship but not stifle myself as far as growth. But I couldn't do it. I lost houses, I lost jobs, I lost a relationship ultimately. And I had to see these things come and go, and then there was this peaceful feeling after I'd fucked them up and they were gone and no longer in my control. And I just finally fell into the idea that I needed help. and I wanted to surrender. I went through the entire summer pregnant, kind of knowing, kind of not, kind of just choosing basically not to deal with it, till I finally had the gumption to just go see how pregnant I was, and I was almost into my 6th month, or the very beginning of my 6th month, which is legal, by the way, in terms of having an elective abortion for no other reason but choice. That was a relief to deal with. That took months to deal with. And I even began to accept the fact that I was just going to have a baby because it was too late. And I was scared. I didn't want another child. I'd been shooting drugs. Cocaine in the first trimester causes birth effects. When I finally surrendered, I lost my house to the point where they put my things in the street. They never do that in Solomon's. I alienated myself from my friends. I became very reclusive. I could get cocaine. I would just hole up and shoot it. The more I had, the more days I stayed up. And when that wasn't there, I just drank. I had to drink to function. I had to drink in the middle of the night. I had to drink first thing in the morning. I had to drink all day. And I wanted to die. I planned to go into treatment. It took me several weeks after I made the phone call. I must have called them every other day saying that I'd be there by 4 that afternoon. I guess about 2 or 3 weeks later, I finally ended up there. And I was so relieved. I remember just as soon as I walked in, I was sitting down waiting to fill out papers, and people came up to me and started introducing themselves and telling me that they were an addict. And it was so comforting and so familiar. And I knew it would be different because I wanted it. I started having a lot of reservations though before I got out of treatment. I stopped having vivid drug dreams. I would always dream of that. Trying to shoot up and never finding the privacy to do it. I never dreamed about alcohol. I always dreamt about cylinders. And I stopped having dreams about people that had been in my life. And anxieties fell to the wayside. And the new ones arose. They weren't really anxieties. They were just compulsions. I just wanted to use. And I prayed. I think I sincerely prayed for the first time when I was in treatment for help through these times, and knowing that I was about to face the hardest thing I would ever have to do in my whole life, ever, and it was up to me. I could do it now, get the pain over with, or I could take a chance, deal with it later, or I could die. And I prayed that those situations, when they came up, would not be so painful, and I prayed for strength. And then I decided that there was going to be another time, that there was just going to be one more time. Not knowing for a while I couldn't do it, and I prayed for help to get that feeling out of my head. Sometimes it went away, and sometimes it didn't. I finally acted it out, and I got right back in. And I was honest about it, and I'd never been honest about anything like that before. I didn't want to go through the embarrassment or the shame, but it wasn't shameful or embarrassing. That's what's so different about it. It wasn't really even that remorseful, and I don't think that's because I didn't care about what I'd done. I didn't want to take responsibility. It's just sort of a big relief.